not in charge. It sounds very military.
Saying no when you actually say yes. The rhetoric kind of lies to you.
People thought I was too hard and I was making people cry.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
should I bring my politics to work? Is it a political time right now?
That's my politics.
I'm not sure you want to get in this conversation with me. I worked from home that day.
We are all talking politics.
Hey, homies.
What up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo woo. That's the signature now.
I don't know why that makes me laugh. Woo
woo. It's the signature now. Somebody asked me about it in Houston.
And now it will forever be.
Absolutely. So tonight's show topic is love or hate. Should I bring my politics to work?
Yeah, we're really excited. We're all about love in February. We're going to kick off the first episode of a love series. Valentine's Day is in February. That's always a special day in our family.
Black History Month.
But our grandparents were married on Valentine's Day.
They were.
And they were married over 60 years. So it's always been like a good thing for us and not necessarily about romantic love in our family, because we always were celebrating Nanny and Granddaddy. And so we're going to do a couple episodes this month on love. The first one is this one, like Demetra said, love or hate. Should you bring your politics to work? I know maybe some of this kind of stuff is happening to you right now.
Is it a political time right now? I mean, it's so political. People made the Super Bowl political.
Oh, that is so true, because I did feel like it was, you know, the day after the election when the Patriots won the Super Bowl, and I didn't even really have a vested.
We don't like to talk about it.
Right. I didn't even really have a vested interest in that, but it was pretty devastating. The reason why we said love and hate, some people love talking about politics. They love a chance to express their opinions. They love a chance to educate the other side.
You mean help them see it their way.
Yes, exactly. And
I think the challenge people have is they don't want this to happen.
That is sexual assault.
Right. He's done none of those things, Angela.
He and has. I'm sorry, Bill Clinton's not running for office.
I don't have time to give you a State of the Union address.
I asked you specific,
but you're not the host, Scotty. You're sitting in a chair as a panelist, just like me. What I address.
I can give you specifics. You can't.
Okay. And if that's what you think, you're ridiculous.
Right. And sometimes people think that work is the perfect place to do that. Like, it's the perfect place to interact, or it might be the only place that they interact with people who have politics that are different than theirs. And so then they really feel like this is my chance to give the person on the other side a chance to express where we are on these issues.
I think politics in the workplace, and you've heard me say this for years, it's like sports. Everyone has a very strong opinion, whether they have any talent or basis for their opinion, but they feel strongly about it.
Yes. And I think right now, if you don't have an opinion, sometimes that can end up making a statement about you, because we are in such a politically charged climate that I think people might feel as though you're a bit uninformed if you're not taking a position. So,
or insincere.
Maybe, yeah, alternative facts or something like that.
Well, let's get into it. So how do you approach speaking about politics at work?
So I've heard a lot of people say over the years, you shouldn't discuss politics or
church and state.
Right. And you shouldn't discuss either one of those at work. And I have found, and maybe because I'm a lawyer, and so people definitely are expressing their political views in a legal environment, I find it unrealistic to think that you could actually approach work without some politics at some point being discussed. I mean, I feel as though there are actual times where if your boss or a superior is trying to engage you and you say something like, oh no, I mean, I don't discuss politics, that can end up being something that really hurts you. So the first thing I think you have to do is take stock of the climate that you work in and the environment that you work in. And is it a politically charged place?
You know, this is, you know, I think such a great topic because I feel like I'm in more political conversations at this stage in my career than I was when I was younger. But I am financial services. It feels as if the clients drive more of the political conversations than internal associates or people that I work with at the actual bank. And that's been the case throughout my career. It's normally a client or a prospect or a center of influence that's sharing their political views. And then that kind of forces everyone, because no one is going to say to a client, hold up there, John, we don't discuss politics here at XYZ Bank. It doesn't work that way unless you're just trying to make sure you never win any business whatsoever in life from John and everybody that he knows.
And I think until this point in my career, I many times was pretty neutral about approaching politics. You know, it used to be sort of my standard speech or clip that I would say is if someone was trying to engage me in a political discussion, I would say something like, I don't know if we should talk about that. I think you and I, John, might have different politics. And then if they push me a little bit further, I would say probably something like, whatever you think a young Black woman's politics is, stop right there. That's all right there. That's my politics. So you and I.
That's
probably,
me, dog. That's me.
Right, that's me. We probably shouldn't discuss it. But what I do find after this last election is I'm so fired up and disturbed that I think sometimes I'm the one that starts the political discussion because I am literally outraged by some of the policies and things that happen.
I think, you know, for me, I've historically always been more of the devil's advocate that never really truly gives my opinion, but my opinion is the opposite of the craziness that I've heard the other person say that I think is craziness. And I'll say something along the lines of, well, I think what the other people are upset about, or some people are upset about, is this, that, and the other. I think where they're going wrong is this, that, and the other, but that is really me talking without me saying, is me.
No,
I do
I'm
agree
like,
with
this
you
is crazy.
In the last, I will say in the last, you know, really 5 years, I will say something like, we're not going to be together on this. So I'm not sure you want to get in this conversation with me because we're not going to be together on this.
Like literally today, I am walking out of court or walking into court. I can't remember which one it was. Someone was talking about a courthouse not being fully utilized. And then someone said, well, you know, with the new president, and because he's such a businessman, I'm sure he'll fix this when he's fixing the other issue. And I literally thought to myself,
are you serious right now?
Right. Say what now? And so instead, I guess I just sort of thought, because we were about to, it was, you know what, it was before the hearing. I thought, you know, Demetra, you need to be focused, get your game face on. It's time to go to battle on these issues. I sucked that all the way down, like deep down in my soul, and let it ride because I just thought that was pretty not in line.
You're going to feel mighty silly in 6 weeks when the president fixes all that.
It's going to be fantastic. I do know that. Whatever it is, it'll be terrific.
It's going to be bigly.
It'll be terrific. So I do think the first thing when you're talking about approaching politics is, you know, take stock of the climate and really realize if you're in an environment where people discuss politics. If you're in an environment where people do not discuss politics, I'm not sure that you should be the one always trying to enforce a conversation on people that they typically, the culture of your company does not have.
I think right now is a little unique because people are overtly in political conversations. And I think historically, it kind of sneaks up on you. Somebody brings up a current event that turns into a political conversation, and that can move on you very quickly. Right now, it isn't that way. I mean, you know, hey, we are in a very politically charged environment where people have incredibly strong opinions on opposite viewpoints, on opposite sides of the scale. But I think, you know, prior to, say, the last 18 to 24 months before that, it felt as if something would happen, some current event you know, that happened in the news. And then the way that we view that, you know, based on the way our politics are set up, our backgrounds, our culture, how we raise our religions, our family backgrounds, it turned into a political conversation. And so you looked up and you thought you were talking about an event that turned into politics.
Right. And right now, you know, you're talking about politics. Yeah. Right. So if you end up in a conversation and it gets difficult and you want to get out, like you were okay with the conversation and then it went left, or maybe
Just raise your church finger and you get out.
Just put your index finger up
like your church and just tip on out.
Just tip on out. But if you can't tip on out, I mean, one of the things I definitely found myself in this way in the last couple of weeks is sort of feeling like, okay, I'm in the conversation. I'm a bit too impassioned. As Bemetra said, we're not going to be together on this. It's time for me to get out the conversation. And so I typically will use humor to exit a conversation. So I'll usually say something like, but other than that, I mean, I'm good with it. And everybody will kind of laugh. And then it gives a nice finale or a feeling of finality to the discussion. And then we can go ahead and talk about something else. I don't know how you or if you found that you need to get out of conversations, but I certainly have to. Like I said, we're lawyers, so we are all talking politics.
Yeah, in financial services, we're pretty much talking politics as well. And humor, or I'll say something like, well, that was awkward, huh?
Right. Now that I made the whole room awkward, that's another way to use politics. Right.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Right.
How about those cowboys? Right. Going to the Super Bowl? Something like that to try to exit. Another way I think to exit is just to stop engaging.
So right.
To, you know, just get quiet. And that sometimes is difficult. But one of the tips that my brother DeMarc taught me is to count to 10 sometimes before you respond.
You mean mentally, not actually out loud.
No, not out loud. So while the person's talking, don't start saying 1,001, 1,002. But literally in your mind, count to 10. It's a good way for you to catch your breath. It's often a good time. 10 seconds seems very quick, but it's not in a conversation that it's starting to take some steam or starting to get some traction. And so it's another way to slow the conversation down. And sometimes even in those 10 seconds, I think people cool off and they're ready to move forward because they don't see you as impassioned. I think fire ignites fire. And so if you want to not
match that intensity. Yeah, the biggest thing I do in a situation like that is try not to match the intensity. And I love that about counting to 10. I'm going to have to try that myself. But normally I will get quiet. And instead of what my natural inclination is when someone is speaking to jump in and give my response to that, when I find myself getting upset or incredibly passionate, to slow down and jot down a couple, three words of things that I want to get out, and then recognize that I do need to get out of the conversation. Because once I realize, unlike some of my Facebook friends, that we're not going to be together, there is no value in starting World War III at work, because at the end of the day, you have to come back here. These are people, these are your colleagues. You're going to have to work with them. Sometimes it might even be somebody that you need to depend on for a promotion or to give you work or to get a raise. And you don't want to be in some conversation where you can't come back from it.
Right. And so sometimes it's also okay to express your tremendous disappointment, which I have at work in this political environment, that I have been incredibly disappointed with some things that have happened, and then sort of communicated my feelings as to why. And I think it humanizes your passion sometimes and makes people, especially if you can say it in a softer tone instead of being so impassioned, like you said, and saying, well, the problem is with all this. But if you're just like, at the end of the day, the reason why the election was incredibly disappointing to me was because, and then fill in the blank. And I think because if they are your colleagues and they do respect you as a person, there is some light bulb that comes on where they're at least like, oh, wow, hadn't thought of that. I don't think I have turned anyone's political views. That's not what I'm saying. But I certainly have left food for thought. At least I like to think I have.
And I'm always surprised at, you know, certain issues where, you know, people think that they automatically think they know your politics. And no, as I always like to joke, you know, for me personally, and this is certainly not a political show in terms of our politics, but, you know, I've got to be Black and free first. and then my lady parts, and then my checkbook. And being in financial services,
people right. think that your checkbook leads, and then they're surprised, I'm sure, that it doesn't.
Right. right.
And I definitely have that as well. I think that people think when you are, I don't know, in some type of tax bracket, you with them, and you're like, no, I'm, like you said, I'm black and free. And so, you know, one of the things that I have said is those things do matter to me, and where people that I call my partners, my colleagues, my friends, where they come out on those issues also matters to me.
I think the other thing that's been, you know, just really challenging over the last few years is there are people that, you know, I wouldn't say that we were friends, but I would definitely say we were friendly, whether it be from boards that we sit on, or we went to the business school together, or we work together, and they will give a very strong political opinion that is the complete opposite of something, you know, that I believe and I feel strongly about. And you've got to try to figure out a way to not be led with your emotions to work with that person in the future. And that can be a very, an incredibly difficult thing to do and overcome. At work is not as simple as just, you know, defriending them off of social media.
That's right. And that's probably, you know, I have had someone tweet us about that, or I can't remember if it came in a question asking us to do an episode on, and we will in the future, probably in March, on how to have conversations and get your feelings and your emotions out of them. And that, you know, that's incredibly important, especially in discussing issues. One of the things I've really learned about processing the information with my coworkers or colleagues at work is that it's okay to step back. Maybe you need a mental health day. If you're feeling that strongly after a particular issue has come about, or a particular person has been confirmed, or something like that, that you know this is your issue, this is the thing that really in the depths of your soul, you're not going to be able to discuss it without your emotions, it's okay to step back. So one of the things I did the day after the election is I knew I was feeling pretty crappy and pretty low. And I knew I also was not going to be in a place to joke about the election or joke about results, or even really didn't want to get into a discussion with anyone who didn't share my politics. And I certainly work with a lot of people who do not share my politics. I came in and I had a telephonic hearing that morning. And so I have one of those, what do you call those things you put on your door, like a do not disturb sign, sure. right? That says that I'm on a telephonic hearing. And normally when I finish my hearing, I get up, I take it off and open up my door as to say, you know, everyone's welcome. But that day, I just left it on all day.
D&D all day.
Right. Do not disturb. And I just knew, because
enter at your own risk.
I'm not in a positive place. And so I'm just like, don't come up in here today. So if we're going to have a conversation, you would have entered into my domain, so to speak, but it worked. And so I think it's okay to step back. Just step back so you can process what you're hearing and learning about your coworkers.
I work from home.
You worked from home that day?
I worked from home that day because I just felt like I wasn't going to be able to control my emotions. And I basically didn't answer my phone because I also know some people personally who I felt like would say something that I would say, you know, in my South Memphis voice, that's out of pocket. Since I could predict that, and I didn't want to turn all reality TV star, you don't want it with me because you know what I'm about.
To say, we like to say, you don't want it with me because you know what I'm about.
I didn't want to be that person.
Someone who said that behind me. You don't want it with me.
And you don't want it with me.
And say, are you from Memphis?
Hey, girl.
What else do you think you do to process, you know, things that you've learned about your colleagues or your coworkers with politics? Like, what other things do you do besides just, I mean, you can't work every day from home.
Sure. I know one of the big things is I can't remember, I think it was Jimmy Carter years ago say, you know, you have to begin with believing that people want the same thing for the country, which is for the country to be its best. They just have vastly different views about how to attack that. So I try to tell myself that at least the people that I'm working with, because I've seen them in positive lights in other situations, this is not my single soul interaction with them, that they are people who want good things for the country. They want noble things. We just have very different viewpoints. And I try to keep that in mind and understand that their background, their culture, their personal experiences, their family are what's bringing that to light. And then, like you said, when I think they're in a place to receive it and I'm in a place to share it without a tremendous amount of emotion of why I feel the way that I do.
Right. So I completely agree with that. So I said to one of my partners, because he said to me something along the lines of who I have a tremendous amount of respect for and still do, even though I know our politics are very, very different. And I think that that's also important. It is also important. Let me say this to the extent that we haven't said this. You can be friends and like people who share a different political opinion than you, even starkly different. I see too much on social media of, you know, quickly wanting to brand people. They're not a good person or this person is.
You're wrong.
Right. And I don't think it's necessarily that easily determined. But he said something to me along the lines of, I know you just think that everybody who voted for Trump is a racist asshole or something like that. And I said, well, I don't necessarily think that, but I do think that racism, that sexism, that homophobia was not a deal breaker for you. And so for me, when I think of my partners and I think that that's not a deal breaker for them, then I understand that that might have implications for us as we move forward and do business together, because I am Black, I am a woman. And so what if a client says something racist? I don't think now that you're going to have my back, because it's not a deal breaker. And so that does change the way I move in this place and the way that I think of my coworkers. And so I could see a light come on when I said that. So no, I'm not branding you with a label, but I do understand that for you, that is something that
it's not too far.
It's not too far. You can overlook that. Then I can't overlook what that might mean for us as we go forward and do business together. Yeah. And so I do think that, we wanted this to be a quick episode, because really we know that so many people are hurting, and I feel like we're going to have more of that, and wanted to give you some quick tips to sort of try to deal with that, because like as B-Mutual likes to say, the corporate struggle is real.
The struggle is real.
Part of what you have to decide is if you're comfortable bringing your whole self to work, and if you are not, you should stay away from all these conversations. And get out as soon as you can.
Right. But, you know, in reality, there are very few people that work in an environment where everyone is exactly like them and thinks exactly like them. So it is important to learn how to move and be successful in environments where people are not just exactly like you. And that means sometimes people are going to have very different viewpoints, and including politics.
That's right. And that's okay. Like I said, you can have, you know, one of my closest friends, we don't always share the same politics. I mean, you have very dear people that you have a tremendous amount of respect for. And, you know, I mean, look at James Carville and what's his wife's name, that they have different politics.
Like UConn fans.
I'm not really friends with UConn fans, though, so I'm not really sure that was a good example for me.
Like AKAs.
Yes. I don't know that we've talked much about the fact that we are members of Delta Sigma.
Proud members since 1995.
Right, of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. But we're friends with lots of AKAs. Some of my best friends are AKAs. So that's the first episode of our love series. And please show us some love, especially about this politics and this political
environment. Yeah, we want to hear from you.
Yes. So you know where to find us.
Right. Email us at info@corporatehomie.com. Tweet us. Send us a message on Facebook. Please reach out and reach out on the website. And always, it's corporatehomie, HOMIE.
If you're loving the podcast, the thing that we always want to make sure, we want to say one, thank you for listening, but please do a review. Please feel free to do a review on whatever medium that you listen to us. Look at that. I tried to combine mode and medium. Whatever medium that you
listen
to. 5-star reviews are best. And so until next time, homies.
Hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.